In Donald Trump's campaign against what he calls fake news, CNN chief White House correspondent Jim Acosta is public enemy number one. From the moment Trump announced his candidacy in 2015, he has attacked the media, calling journalists the enemy of the people. In his book, just out in paperback, The Enemy of the People, A Dangerous Time to Tell the Truth in America, Jim Acosta presents a damning examination of bureaucratic dysfunction, deception, and the unprecedented threat the rhetoric that Trump is directing has on our democracy. At Mr. Trump's most hated network, CNN, Acosta offers a never-before-reported account of what it's like to be the president's most hated correspondent. Acosta goes head-to-head with the White House even after Trump supporters have threatened his life with words as well as physical violence. Acosta will be taking part in an online conversation with Berkshire Eagle executive editor Kevin Moran for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, OLLI, at Berkshire Community College on Thursday, July 9th at 7 p.m. via Zoom. It is free and open to the public. BerkshireOLLI.org for more information. The program is titled The Enemy of the People, 1 Year, One Impeachment, and One Pandemic Later. And it's a great pleasure to welcome CNN Chief White House Correspondent Jim Acosta to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. You were at OLLI a year ago when the book came out in hardcover. Now it's out in paperback. And man, it's been a year. just give us a sense of what, because in just reading the book, it's just more of the same, isn't it, for you, in the sense of the chaos of this presidency just has continued for another year.
Absolutely. And I think what we've seen just in 2020 is sort of a culmination of what we've been through over the last, 3 or 4 years. And that is that this is a highly controversial president who has a very unique and somewhat destabilizing view of how to run the country, how to run the presidency, how to run the White House. And, we're running up against, lots of different facets of Donald Trump's character in covering this pandemic. As we saw, from the very beginning of this outbreak of the coronavirus, which, became a pandemic, the president tried to say it would go away, it would disappear, that the testing was just fine. And, and many of these things just didn't turn out to be true. And I think it is a reminder of what we've been up against really since the beginning of this presidency, which is, Donald Trump tends to play fast and loose with the facts. Now, I know there are people out there listening who may get upset when you hear something like that because they're diehard Trump supporters. I get that. But when you have the Washington Post fact checkers estimating that he's told some, 18,000 false or misleading statements since coming into the office, I think there's a real problem there. And of course, there are folks on the left who say you should go much farther and say everything that he says is a lie.
Right.
It does make the job of being a journalist in this day and age difficult, but no question about it, we're in a hugely challenging environment covering this pandemic, and we're trying to do it from all sides.
So let's talk about the pandemic for a second, because you have these numbers that are skyrocketing around the country. And as we're recording this, an 80% uptick in just the last 14 days, records being broken for the most cases reported. Dr. Fauci testifying before the Senate that we could see 100,000 cases a day. And yet the administration doesn't seem to, just as late as last Friday when the task force for the first time in a long time held a press briefing, basically said there's nothing to see here. We're doing a great job. So how do you report that? How is that when it's obvious that there is a crisis that is also obviously not being addressed? How do you then report that?
I think you just have to tell it like it is, and the numbers don't lie. I mean, one of the things that we've seen revealed in all of this is that you can't BS your way around a deadly virus. You can't BS your way around a deadly pandemic. And, when the White House and the president try to downplay the severity of the virus and the pandemic and it doesn't go away. And as we're seeing in recent days, the cases are skyrocketing in places like Florida and Texas and Arizona, states which followed the president's lead in terms of being aggressive about reopening their states. I think, you know, the people at home can just look at their TV screens, look at their phones, and see a cause and effect. You know, the fact that the administration was so eagerly, you know, ready to reopen the country, I think by and large contributed to what we're seeing right now. You know, these states that did not stay in quarantine mode, lockdown mode, social distancing mode, as long as everybody else did, are now seeing what happens when you don't follow these guidelines and listen to experts like Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, in many ways, has been, you know, by my observation, has been fighting a losing battle to some extent, because he is, you know, recommending that the public do all of these things, wear a mask, social distance, be careful about reopening. And yet he's running up against his own administration, which is, you know, led by a president who wants to go in a very different direction. You know, our reporting is that, you know, President Trump has essentially moved on from the coronavirus. And we talked to sources who say that he and other top officials in the administration are in denial about what's happening right now. And so that puts the health experts in a very difficult position, and makes it tough for journalists to try to get people the truth. Because as we've seen, and I've cataloged it in my book, you know, this has been going on for 3 or 4 years now, where you have a very large percentage of the country just conditioned to not believing what is coming from the mainstream news media. And I think, you know, we're seeing the consequences of some of that.
You write in the book, and it's a really an amazing part where you're writing about Charlottesville. And the president is talking about this and says, yes, I think there's blame on both sides. If you look at both sides, I think there's blame on both sides. And I have no doubt about it. And you don't have any doubt about it either. And if you reported it accurately, you would say, you interrupt and say the neo-Nazis started this. They showed up in Charlottesville to protest. The president says, excuse me, they didn't put themselves, and you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. You said, no, sir, there are no fine people in the Nazis. I ask this as a question because one of the criticisms that you often get is that you grandstand. How is that? What I just read is different, and I would like you to defend yourself on that, because it seems David McCullough in 2016, when I was talking to him before, the great historian, before the election, said, look, there's a difference between right versus left. We have to look at this as right versus wrong. It seems to me, in what I just read, that's what you're doing.
I think so. You know, we can't, you know, we can't get so locked into, you know, I guess what the public may see as a hyper traditional way of, you know, being a journalist, that we don't tell the truth. There aren't two sides to the story when it comes to white supremacists and neo-Nazis. There just aren't. You know, you can't say, well, on one hand, the neo-Nazis are okay and they're just misunderstood, and same with the white supremacists, you know, they may have a point there. That's just ludicrous. There are two sides to that story. And what I observed that day when I was at Trump Tower and hearing the president say that is that he was trying to say that there were fine people marching with these so-called alt-right demonstrators who were protesting against taking down a statue of Robert E. Lee, by the way. And, you know, listen, if you're marching with neo-Nazis and white supremacists, you know, I think you probably need to take a hard look at what you're doing with your life. I don't think you are, you know, you deserve to be put in the category of very fine people. And, you know, for the president, it was just one of those moments. And I go back to it even to this day. It was one of the defining moments of this presidency, because he has so very often throughout his career, business career and political career, you know, hit people's buttons when it comes to this issue of race. Mm-hmm. And when you push people's buttons in this way, you're going to end up, I think, with dire consequences. And, you know, when the president is retweeting tweets like he did the other day, a video of somebody saying white power, and then the White House has to clean it up and say, well, he didn't hear the person say white power. That would be more believable if there had not been this very long track record of the president, behaving in racially offensive ways from time to time, and doing so for what appears to be a strategy that he sees as beneficial to him politically. And so Charlottesville, to me, is just one of those moments where when you're a journalist and you're one of those situations and you hear the president of the United States equivocating on white supremacists, I think at that point you kind of have to start, insisting on the truth at that point, and not be so, handcuffed to this notion that you have to present both sides equally and fairly at all times, no matter what. I just don't think it applies to situations like that.
Obviously, there is an inherent competition between you and your colleagues who are with you on that beat. But tell me a little bit about the relationship that you have as a group of really trying to work together to find out what's going on.
Well, I think what you've seen over the last few months during the impeachment saga, during this coronavirus pandemic, during the Black Lives Matter protests around the country, is you've seen other journalists kind of come to the forefront and really hold President Trump's feet to the fire. People like Weijia Zhang over at CBS, people like Yamiche Alcindor over at PBS, right. Some of my own colleagues at CNN, people like Caitlin Collins. What you've seen, I think, is other journalists in the White House press corps become a bit more aggressive at times in trying to get the truth out of this administration because, you know, the old ways and the old tactics, the old playbook don't necessarily, work as well. They aren't it's not as effective. As I like to put it, and I put it this way in my book, you know, a different kind of president calls for a different kind of playbook. And I think we have come to a point in the White House press corps where, we don't see ourselves as being, the opposition or political opponents of the president or anything like that. But when he plays fast and loose with the facts to the point where, you're tearing your hair out, and on top of that, they're abusive in ways that we've just never seen in our lifetime. I think that is when it calls for journalists to get tough, to stand tough, stand your ground. And make sure those hard questions are asked. That's what people expect. If we didn't do it, this is the thing I tell people all the time. If we didn't do it, if we weren't standing tough and, defending ourselves, standing up for ourselves and trying to ask those hard questions, people at home would, they wouldn't have it. They would not want to see the press just acting like stenographers and sheep. That's not why we're there. We are there to make sure that our elected leaders are held accountable.
I don't want to keep you. I have two more questions for you. One is there something inherent in being a journalist? Because I often feel this way when I'm working on our show, and I just wonder of how you feel about it. That this is such a weird time, and there's so much going on, and it's so chaotic and so disruptive. And then you wonder what will happen if, say, Joe Biden is elected in November. Do you think there's elements of this that you'll miss?
Well, I mean, listen, one of the things that, I feel the public has a right to know about, and this has happened to not just me, but to a number of my colleagues, is that we've received, an alarming number of death threats and threatening right. messages on social media, via email and so on. To the point that, I write about this in the book, that somebody was sending pipe bombs to CNN back in 2018, right before the midterms.
Right.
Many of us have forgotten about these sorts of things because, the news cycle is like a fire hose in the face these days. But it deserves to be remembered. We need to remind ourselves of what the press went through during this administration. I would like to see this country get back to a place where we can have a healthy dialogue about our disagreements and not be at the point where we're at each other's throats. And that's really where we are right now. And so no matter who's in office, Democrat or Republican, we're going to have to be tough. These are difficult times. We have some immense challenges. If Joe Biden is elected and he gets into office and he's not handling this coronavirus pandemic very well, Believe me, we're going to be there. Maybe I won't be there. Maybe I'll be replaced by somebody else. Who knows? There might be a whole new group of White House correspondents in there. Those correspondents will be in there holding their feet to the fire and making sure that the taxpayers, the American people, are getting what they deserve from their government. And that is, you know, playing it straight. You know, we need our elected officials to be straight with the American people, especially about something as serious as a deadly pandemic. And, you know, if Joe Biden gets in there and he is not taking care of business, you know, he'll hear about it from the press. No question about it. I'm firmly convinced of that. And if people think, oh, you guys are in the tank for this person or that person, they just haven't been paying attention long enough to see how we have been. You know, we could be thorns in the side of either party, either administration. And people who have been around long enough and, you know, been observers of this long enough know that.
But that's different than just the chaos of every day just saying, oh, my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And it has almost been like a nonstop national crisis since the beginning of this administration. You know, we're in the middle of a Russia investigation, and then there's the chaos down at the border. There's Charlottesville. There's the impeachment saga. Then this coronavirus pandemic and these protests. I mean, it feels like it never stops. But, you know, for anybody who thinks it's going to be boring after Donald Trump leaves the scene, if he leaves the scene in January 2021, they haven't been watching the news long enough.
Right.
I can tell you, having done this for 25 years, there'll be big stories, you know, to come no matter who's in office.
The new book is The Enemy of the People, A Dangerous Time to Tell the Truth in America. It's just out in paperback. It has a terrific afterword by Jim Acosta that also talks about the impeachment as well as a run-up to the election. Jim Acosta will be taking part in an online conversation with Berkshire Eagle executive editor Kevin Moran for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Berkshire Community College on Thursday, the 9th of July at 7 o'clock via Zoom. It is free and open to the public. BerkshireOlli.org for more information. That program titled The Enemy of the People, 1 Year, One Impeachment, and One Pandemic Later. Jim Acosta, I thank you very much for spending time with us. I admire you and your work, and I appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thanks, Joe. That's very kind. I appreciate it, and thanks to everybody who's listening.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book, The Enemy of the People, A Dangerous Time to Tell the Truth in America by Jim Acosta. The book is published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.